William Gray. Perhaps you've heard of him. He spent his life searching for the one trait that all successful people share. In his essay entitled The Common Denominator of Success, he revealed that successful people do have a common characteristic, and it wasn't hard work, as important as that is. It's not good luck or astute human relations, although those are all important aspects in one's life. The one factor that seemed to transcend all the rest was the habit of putting first things first. He observed the successful person has the habit of doing the things failures do not like to do. As successful people don't like to do them either, necessarily, but their disliking is subordinated to the strength of their purpose. Putting first things first. The book of Haggai, the second shortest of the Old Testament, communicates the same message. Now, thinking through what was going to be my message today in regard to the last one as a full-time minister, I was thinking of all kinds of wise and astute and wondrous things to share, which I do anyway, but to realize that this is the message that I would want to share with you, and it is a part of our series, to put first things first. It was written to a people like us. It was written to those who would say that God must be first. No brainer. And yet, we find that there are those who drift away from that truth. They live with misplaced priorities. Haggai was sent to help God's people to get their priorities in line with what they knew they should be. Now, I want to take just a little bit of history here. Jim and I in this series have endeavored to do that. And Haggai spoke this message to a group of the Jewish people who had returned to Jerusalem after living in captivity in Babylon. As you recall, the Babylonians took the people of Jerusalem into prison, into captivity, and we know that Solomon's temple was destroyed, and this all took place some 70 years earlier. When the Jews returned to from exile, they faced a daunting task of rebuilding the city. Now, the first returnees made preliminary efforts to clear the debris away from the foot of the temple and to begin to prepare for the construction of a second temple. Now, the Samaritan neighbors had invited themselves to help, and the Jewish people said, no, thank you, which kind of made them upset, and they began to, in turn, threaten the workers, and they sent men to Persia to lobby against the Jews to bring the work to a halt. So things weren't going all that great, is what I'm trying to say here. But the years passed by. Slowly but surely, Jerusalem came to life again. Homes were built, stores were opened, commerce established, fields were planted, crops were harvested, and life began to look at about some degree of normalcy. But Israel got used to living in the life without the temple. The foundations were overgrown with weeds, and they stood as a mute reminder that the Jewish people had failed to take care of God's house. Now, 14 to 18 years passed, and Haggai appeared on the scene with one prevailing message, and that is, it is time to finish rebuilding the temple. It is time to rebuild. It was a message of priority. It was putting first things first. And the temple was the center for worshiping God. It represented the heart of the Old Testament religion. Now, we know that God is everywhere. We understand that. But we know that the temple was placed on earth to remind the people, to teach the people that God is God, was, is, and always shall be. And for the temple to lie in ruins was to neglect the worship of God. It was a testimony of misplaced priorities. It was saying other things were more important than worshiping the Heavenly Father. And it was an embarrassment to those that were endeavoring to proclaim that God was and is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Haggai's message was blunt. He pulled no punches and he wasted no words. He spoke like a foreman on a construction job, which might be scary, but I think he kind of spoke his heart. Hard hat on, tool belt around his belt around his waist, and he walked around a construction site and he bellowed out orders. And there are several things that he shared in the book. It's an easy read. I encourage you to go through that. But the thing that I find first and foremost, he confronts the people for the excuses about the temple lying in ruins. He says, stop making excuses. Haggai 1:2 says, the Lord of armies says, these people say the time has not come for the house of the Lord to be built. They intended to build God's house. It was in their heart, it was in their minds, but they just had not got around to it. If you were to ask them, they would probably say, I am all for building the temple. I want to see it done. It is for a great cause, but God wants to take care of my family first. Times are hard. Jobs are scarce. We need to pray more about it. Yes, we will eventually build, but not quite yet. Benjamin Franklin wrote one time, I never knew a man who was good at making excuses who was good at anything else. Well, sometimes we make the excuses, but are they really of value? And it's always easy to make excuses when we don't want to obey God. We can always find rational justification for not doing what God wants us to do. The time is not right. I've got family responsibilities. My kids need me now. When things settle down at work, then I'll do something. The first step, though, in putting first things first is to admit our responsibility. What is the priority within our lives? I can remember back almost 50-some years ago now, which is very frightening, but 50-some years ago playing high school basketball, and the coach said, we're going to have a practice on a Wednesday night because we're getting ready for a big game. Back in that time period in the 60s, the Wednesday night was a very important church night. You didn't touch Wednesday night. Well, he decided to have practice on Wednesday night, and he said, if you don't show up, you're going to be practicing at, I think he said 5:30 or 6 o'clock on a Saturday morning, those that don't show up on the Wednesday night. I told Dad, I said, Dad, I need to go to practice on Wednesday. No, you don't, is the response that I got. And I found myself practicing at 5:30, 5:45 on Saturday morning. Because Dad made a priority of saying first things first. Taught a lesson to me and realized that often we make excuses for not doing the things that we need to do. Closely aligned with excuse making is self-centered mindsets that permeates everything. Haggai challenged the people in their inward behavior when he said, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. It's time for you yourselves to live in your panel. You live in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruin. Paneled houses. Very simply, the word means covered or roofed. But the point really is saying that these houses were finished. They were functional. They were those that were not in process. Everything that needed to be done was done on the houses the people were living in. No weeds were growing around the unfinished foundations. Their houses were complete while the temple remained non-existent. Now please understand, there's absolutely nothing wrong with having a nice home. This is not an attack on wealth or wages or possessions. It is an understanding in regard to priority. There is absolutely nothing wrong with us to have those things of life. But he's saying, what is wrong with the temple being in ruin? and the dwelling that we have is perfect? The things of God, what is wrong with spending our money on personal needs while ignoring the things of God? What's wrong with spending our time and talents and our best hours on ourselves and our pursuits while the things of God go undone? It's an indictment against unfulfilled priorities, misplaced priorities. And it's easy to do that. It's easy to drift away and do our agenda instead of God. It's easy to pursue selfish desires rather than ignoring God's. In fact, it is a default of our lives. If we have no thought as to how we're living, we're going to naturally live for ourselves. We're going to be the priority. We're going to be the focus. We're going to be the bent of our hearts. And it is always going to be toward me. And this is what was happening to the Jewish people that Haggai was addressing. Like William Cowper, which you have to go way back on that song. But he was a hymn writer and a minister, and he penned the following words. He said, "Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love." That's our tendency. That's what happens when we don't seek God first. Now, as a result of their excuse-making, we find that the people of Haggai's day experienced all kinds of hardship. He continues and says, "Now the Lord of armies says this, think carefully about your ways. You've planted much but harvest little. You eat but never have enough to be satisfied. You drink but never have enough to be happy. You put on clothes but you never have enough to get warm. The wage earner puts his wages in a bag with a hole in it." Boy, can we relate to that feeling. But what was happening? They were sowing plenty of seed, but there was a drought and the crops didn't yield as much as they had hoped. They had an active lifestyle, but they weren't experiencing happiness and satisfaction. They were laboring, but they were showing no profit. There was no result and return from their efforts. No matter how hard they tried, it seemed that they were spinning their wheels. No matter how much money they made, it just didn't seem like they could keep it. Are there times that we feel that way? Well, part of it is because we don't seek God in our priorities and put Him first. We miss out on God's blessings. Haggai points that out as a sober reminder. What happens in our heart affects every part of our life. And because the people had pushed God out of the center, they were suffering in every area of their lives. The warning that Haggai is giving the people of his day is the warning that is there for us today. For they did not see that what God was allowing to take place in their predicament. They hadn't stopped to consider that God was trying to tell them something. Haggai screamed, Hey, it's God who controls the rain and the harvest. He is withholding these blessings because your priorities are not right. Put His house as a priority. Put His house first, and He will bless you. And Jesus is saying the same thing to us today in the writings of Matthew. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be provided to you. Blessings come through obedience. If we want to experience God's blessings, we need to put Him first. Honor Him, and He answers and responds and provides for us, as it says, the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things will be provided for you. This is a strong indictment that is coming about here. The people were realizing that they had created their own calamities. They had created their own problem because they were no longer putting God first. And the people needed to reevaluate the situation. Twice Haggai had instructed the people, think carefully about your ways. The word consider means to give careful thought to. Surprise, surprise. It is a time for people to do some serious self-examination before the Lord. Haggai wanted the people to stop long enough in their busy schedules and all their activities to evaluate their life in light of God's word. He wanted them to measure the consequences of what they were doing and what their actions were bringing about in their lives. And I share with you that evaluation is a good thing. That's why teachers give tests. That's why jobs have reviews. Socrates had said that the unexamined life is not worth living. Each day there should be a time for us to think through, at least momentarily, and often step back and think through our priorities, how we spend our time, how we spend our money, how we use our talents, how we carry out our daily journey, what friends that we have, what kind of goals are we set, where are we going? And if God is not first in those priorities, guess who removed him from his rightful place? It's one of my favorite jokes, but anymore it doesn't make sense to most young people because there are no longer bench seats in cars, but the senior citizens were talking and the elderly gentleman was behind the wheel and the wife was over by the on the passenger side by the window, and she said, "Honey, I just don't know what's happened to us. We have seemed to have drawn apart. We no longer are sharing together and talking like we used to. And in fact, you remember when we first started dating, I sat right next to you." See, that doesn't happen. And the older gentleman driving just kept looking forward and said, "I haven't moved." Anyway, when we look and say, "God, I'm not as close to you as I'd want to be," God's saying, "I haven't moved. I've not gone anywhere." His rightful place should be in the center of our lives, but often we are the ones that have moved. The failure takes a constant correction each day. It's like a pilot who does not make the slight course adjustment in flight. The plane will end up many, many miles, hundreds of miles perhaps, off course later. The failure to take proper precautions today will result in severe consequences down the line if we don't adjust and say, "Lord, not my will, but yours be done. You be the center of my lives." When we stop making excuses, when we cease being self-centered, when we seek God's blessings, when we take time to evaluate, we can see God's work take place in powerful ways. This is what happens when first things become God's way and God's will. When God is first in our hearts, we know that we have carried that out. Now, how do we know exactly? Well, I think there are three things that indicate that God is first place in our lives. First is that we're active in the right things. Again, Haggai says in verse 8, "Go up to the hills, bring down lumber, and build the house, and I will be pleased with it and be glorified, says the Lord." In all of life, there's a time to talk, and then there's a time to act. There's a time to consider, and there's a time to do. When we put first things first, we're going to be up and doing the right things. We're going to be spending time with God. We're going to be serving people. We're going to be honoring him with our time and our talents and our resources. For the Jews living in Jerusalem, it meant cutting down the trees to build God's house. It's for us to say, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" The other indicator is that God is glorified, that God is the priority, that it's all about him. And that has been our prayer as a congregation, as we've served together, that God is the one that receives the credit, receives the honor, the glory. For whatever our occupation is, we need to make our chief business to glorify the Heavenly Father. And third, to know that God blesses us. Verse 13 says very simply, "I am with you." When the people obeyed, this is the wording that God sent. When God is first, he blesses us. And that's a sure sign that he has come alongside. Now, it doesn't mean that we're not going to have challenges and difficulties and hurts and things that will take place in our lives, but we know that if God is distant in our lives, perhaps our priorities have become mixed up. For when we put God first, we experience a new awareness of his presence and a new wondrous blessing. To realize what God has provided for us, to make him first in our lives, that is truly the goal that we have. And that is the purpose that we find brings us hope and victory and peace. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to come alongside one another, to encourage one another, but most importantly, to be reminded that you are the one that desires for us to put first things first. May we be those that truly seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. There are so many things that we could be involved in, many things that are good in and of themselves, but they take us off track. May we always put you first. May you receive the honor and the glory of our lives. Just now, dear Father, I pray that there are those that have never made a decision for your Son. May today be that time. There are those that are here that need to make that decision to put you first. May today now and now be that as we share in song. The invitation is extended. The opportunity is afforded to us. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.